Welcome to the Muswell Hill Methodist Church podcast. Today we'll be hearing Colin's message from our Sunday service. If you live in North London or are visiting, we'd love to welcome you at our church, and you can find more details about us on our social media. Before we listen to Colin's message, let's hear from the Bible. Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 4 and verse 8 to 11. The year of the Lord's favour. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns him herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plants come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring upon before all nations. Our New Testament reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, and then 19 to 28. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John the Baptist denounced being the Messiah. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one of you you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened in Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Do we remember the theme for today? pointing to the light. When I was preparing the sermon during the week and I was speaking to Matt, I said, what do I show the congregation? And Matt gave me that. And I said, where is the light? And he said, you know what? Show it to them, they will understand. But when he gave me this, it reminded me when we were young and when we go to the village, there was no electricity there. And we use the lamp everywhere we go during the night. And you should have oil in the lamp. And if you don't have oil, it means you're not going to have light. So this morning I will ask before we move on that, how much oil do you have in your light? How much oil do you have in your light? Pointing to the light. Pointing to the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. Light. When we read the Bible, the light is associated with knowledge, wisdom, grace, holiness, and God's revelation. And darkness, most of the times, is associated with evil, sin, and despair. Pointing to the light. John's account of the life of Jesus in many ways is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. First, there are significant events in the life of Jesus that John did not record, i.e., the birth of Jesus, Jesus' baptism, temptation in the wilderness, confrontation with demons, Jesus' teachings and parables, the Last Supper, the agony in Gethsemane, and the ascension. Secondly, the first three Gospels center Jesus' ministry in Galilee. But John centers his Gospel on what Jesus said and did in Jerusalem. And thirdly, each of the Gospels emphasizes a different origin of Jesus. Matthew shows that Jesus comes from Abraham through David, and he demonstrates that he is the Messiah, the Messiah promised in the Old Testament in Matthew 1:1-17. What does Mark say about Jesus? Mark says he comes from Nazareth, demonstrating that Jesus is a servant. And Luke says Jesus comes from Adam, demonstrating that Jesus Christ was a perfect man. What about John? John says that Jesus comes from heaven, demonstrating that Jesus is God. Secondly, Mark shows the work and nature of Jesus Christ. First, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was God, according to John. And secondly, he talks about the work of the Word. He says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of humanity. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Here John talks about Jesus being God, Jesus being the Word, Jesus being light, and Jesus being life. John came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He did not come to preach self. Nowadays, when we look at the social media, especially on Instagram and Facebook, and you name them, what we normally hear is, if you want to see more of what I do, or if you want to be the first person to be informed of our new products, there is something that you have to do. You have to hit the like button. You have to follow me, then share. Many a times we are led by ego on social media. An ego, E-G-O. I see it as urging God out. And so it's I, and I. A friend of mine, as we were discussing about this, he said, there is too many I's. We have iPhone, iPad, and before you remember, we have iChurch and iPew. Because in some churches, when you go there, and if you don't know when you sit at certain places, you will not feel comfortable, because the pews belong to some people. I know it's not like this church. That wasn't John. John was a man of mission. He was there to point people to the light. And when you look at the life of John, unlike the celebrities that we have today, John was not dressed like a celebrity. He lived in the desert, like Elijah, wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey. I remember teaching some Sunday school children and talking about the food that John ate, locust and wild honey. And one child said, so, did John not eat any KFC? I said, no. What about McDonald's? I said, no. Then he said, poor John. Like Isaiah, John was also sent to call the people to radical repentance, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John preached about Christ. John did not preach about himself. So when the Jewish leaders sent the priests and the Levites to ask him who he was, remember, these guys came with questions, so they were there to tick the boxes. First, they wanted to know whether he was the Messiah. John said, no, I am not the Messiah. Because it was prophesied that the Messiah will come again. And they were thinking that the Messiah will come as King of Kings and kick the Romans out so that they will have their freedom. If you are not the Messiah, are you Elijah? John said, no. Why Elijah? Because his appearance was like Elijah. And Prophet Malachi also prophesied that before the Messiah comes, Elijah has to come. And John said, no, I am not I am not Elijah. But there is something that Jesus Christ said concerning John. Jesus Christ said John operated in the spirit than in the office of Elijah. So when you read Jesus Christ, says John the Baptist was Elijah. Then they went on to ask, are you a prophet? In Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19, it says, God promised that another prophet will come in due time. So they were expecting another prophet. They asked all these questions, and John said, no, I am none of them. They said, you know what? If you are none of them, then tell us who you are so that when we go, we can give an answer to the people who sent us. And John quoted from Isaiah saying, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You hear a voice here, make straight here, then the way of the Lord. The religious leaders wanted to know who John was, and he wasn't really interested in answering them. He wanted to talk about his mission. He was here to preach about the light. He was here to point people to the light. John said, the one who is coming after me is the Messiah, not me. He's greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to untie the lace of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Luke, Luke paints a picture of John, how John preached to the people. When you read the book of Luke, he says, when John saw the crowd coming out to be baptized by him, he said to them, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruits in keeping with repentance. Live a life that pleases God, not self. Do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. Who are you? It's a question that I'm putting before you, and as I put before you, I ask myself this question when I was preparing the sermon. Who am I? What's my purpose here on earth? A preacher man once said that the wealthiest place on earth is the cemetery. Because when God gives you a talent or anything special and you refuse to use it to help others, you will die with it. And there are many people who once lived here on earth who did not know who they were, and so did not use the talents given to them, and they are all buried in the cemetery. Who are you? John said, I am the voice. What about you? It's a question that I would like us to ponder over. Who are you? A survey was carried out about what makes a good Christian. And these are some of the questions, some of the answers people gave. Some says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are a good Christian. Some also said, if you're a member of a church. Others went on to say, if you pray and fast, that makes you a good Christian. Others also say, if you pay your tithe, you are a good Christian. I don't know about you. What makes you a good Christian? I must confess, I used to believe in all these things. I was born into the church and I go to church every Sunday. So that was it. I am a good Christian. But until one day when I was pulled by someone and said, you know what? When Christ returns, in fact, my dad said that, when Christ returns, son, each one for himself and God for us all, I'll render my account and you'll render your account. So know who is within you. Know the life that you are leading, because you don't know when the time will come. To the Jews, John said, do not say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. John was baptizing. And baptism was for Gentile converts. But here John was saying that whether you are a Jew or Gentile, you got to go through that baptism. I don't know about you. Some people think that if you are baptized, that is it. You are a Christian. And when God comes today, you'll be among the saints. A friend of mine said, when you are baptized and you keep on doing what you do, you go into the water as a dry sinner and you come out as a wet sinner. The flow of John's message was to root out their prejudice and give them a sense of this important truth, that acceptance with God does not depend upon flowing garments, fasting, frequent ablution, washing of hands and following traditions, and long prayers. But acceptance with God depends upon good works proceeding from faith and love. Like the Jews, John is telling us today that we shouldn't rely on our membership to the visible church or in any external privileges or whatsoever. Yes, it is good to be a preacher. It is good to be among the choir or do some important work in the church. But what God requires of us is Christians who are spirit-filled, Christians who have a change of mind. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. Make straight the way of the Lord. It's about pointing people to the light, not self. It's about a change of heart, and a change of heart is a package. What do I say by this? When we go to the clothing store, we can buy a shirt, or we can buy a skirt, or we can buy a shoe. But let me ask you, when you go to the car dealership, can you tell the dealer that, you know what, I want the engine and I don't want the body? No. It comes as a package. John is telling us, that a heart that produces good fruit is a heart that keeps with its repentance. Now, good fruit is a fruit of righteousness. John is telling us that we should let the integrity and the holiness of our usefulness and the usefulness of our hearts manifest in the sincerity of our repentance. That is talking the talk and walking the walk. Attending is about attending to the great duty of justice, mercy, and charity. It's about pointing people to the light. People of God, with all the preparation that we are making towards Christmas, it is easy to get wrapped up with a gift buying and all the extra cooking and cleaning and business. But in Advent, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of the birth of Christ and for the second coming of the Lord, it is always good as Christians to pause and to ask ourselves, if Christ is to come today, again I repeat, if Christ is to come today, are we going to be counted among the saints or not? And if not, why? So I bring my sermon to a conclusion. I read Psalm 139, 23 to 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." May God bless you. May the Spirit of God continue to strengthen us so that whatever God has placed within us, we will use our talents and skills to help others to step up into their God-given potential, so that wherever we go, our lights will shine and people will see them and give glory to the God who called us. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that as we continue to upload sermons, prayers, podcasts and more, that you will find something for you here. Please feel free to follow our podcast on Spotify or Apple Music so that you can hear when we upload new episodes. Until next time, God bless you.